Keep in mind in your bulletin that orange sheet of paper that lets you know the fall festival is coming and all the areas you can serve in. That outreach event happens on the 8th Street campus, and it is quite an event. I think last year there were nearly 1,200 people walking on that campus with all the activities that go on, and so there isn't anything that you would be lacking to do if you wanted to participate, to be a part of it. Everything from bringing your car and putting a trunk or treat out, I think they get prizes for that, and I think they do costume competitions, and they all do all kinds of things. So anyway, keep that in mind as we work toward reaching our community. Well, today's message is the last one of the I Can Only Imagine series. And our final series today brings us to the concept of home. Going home, to be exact. It takes, you ever been away from home for a long time and you can't wait to get back? Now, that's a really stupid question to our awesome military families who experience being away from home for a long period of time. But those of us that don't have that privilege of being in the military, we still have times in which we're away from our home, even though it may be shorter intervals. I practiced that yesterday. Honestly, I did. It's in shorter times, but it still can create a pretty major homesick feeling for us. My mind goes back, when I think about being away from home, my mind goes back into a time when I was pastoring in Michigan, and I was asked to go on a missions trip to Calcutta, India with another pastor, in which we would go and minister to some of the pastors and Bible students in Calcutta, India. And we stopped off at Thailand for 3 days and ministered to some missionaries there, and then went on into Calcutta, India. The trip was nearly about 3 weeks long, and I had never been out of the country that long. I'd never been away from my family for that long on any given trip. And this was also back in 2003, when traveling to foreign countries still had excessive challenges that you know have gotten better over time. But it was still being in another location. I struggled with the food. I struggled with the environment. I struggled with the hours. I struggled with not being able to communicate to anyone when I was there. It was a big struggle for me. But the biggest one, obviously, for 3 weeks is that because I have a little problem with being a picky food eater. I know that none of you have that issue, but if you look up the definition of a picky food eater, my picture is probably in the book. Okay, so when I was there, it was a struggle for me. Well, the day came. And it was like a week before it was time for me to go home, and then days before for me to go home. And I kind of was looking forward to getting on the plane and getting back to the United States. And when I got there, I landed in Detroit. One of the staff members of the church picked me up. As soon as I got in the car, I said, head for a Wendy's. And I don't want a single. I want the double or a triple, and I want supersize everything. I need as much junk in my system as I can get. Fast. That's what going away from home will do that to you, won't it? It just kind of makes it that way. You want to long to be back there. Well, Christians, in a sense, are on their way home. In a sense, we're on our way home. We're here in this world awaiting for the time when we go home. And I'll admit, it can be kind of tough living here in this world while longing for our eternal home, because we've never seen it, never been there. Sometimes it's hard to imagine. I believe part of that longing, though, that's within inside of us, if there is a true longing inside of you at times, it could be found in a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples as he was preparing to leave. It's found in John chapter number 14, verses number 2 and 3, and it says this: In my Father's house are many mansions, using the New King James Version. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Learning from that particular verse, those two verses, we could put inside of our notes this morning that going home then means a new address. Going home means a new address. But if you fail to miss the emotions here in the passage of Scripture, you're going to miss the comfort that comes along with the words of Jesus. He's saying, I'm going away. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you. And where I am, you're going to be there with me. This place that we're going to be together again has many rooms. It has many mansions. It has enough for you and then some. As a matter of fact, is anybody you can invite and that responds to go, we have room for them too. We have a mansions for them. Can you see the implications here? The place that Jesus is talking about is not the same place that they're currently at right now. It's different. I'm going. Action. See, when we Christians speak of being in the presence of Christ in a physical sense, in an odd way that we use that as a term, when we think of being in the presence of Christ eternally, let's put it that way, we're talking of another location. We can be in Christ's presence here while we're walking the earth because he lives inside of us, but when we talk about eternally, we're talking about literally another location. In our physical life right here, I have a hard time separating those, by the way, and this message is going to do a little bit of that, but I don't always like to separate our physical life and our spiritual life because it really should be our life. But physically speaking, in a physical aspect, it can be very common for people to move locations and change locations frequently. The Census Bureau data suggests that the average American will move 9 to 11 times over the course of their life. That number could actually be growing the more and more mobile we become. Now, the crazy thing about moving is this. Once you've moved, now, not if you're not military, you're expected to do that, right? But if you're not military and you move and you get your new house and your location, what is the one phrase somebody says the last box that goes into the house? I'm not doing that again. That's like the number one phrase everybody says. I am not doing that again. But then later on, here we go. But here's something else that's really crazy about moving. And maybe this is like you, but maybe you're not like this. I don't understand this part about moving. Everything that was in my house was either put into a box or a tub or someplace for transportation and went onto a truck. I swear, I'm on my life, I'm telling you, we walked through the house. There was nothing left in the house. There's nothing left in the garage. But when I got to my new location and I unpacked everything, I'm always missing what? Something. I'm missing one item. I don't know what item that will be, but I'm always missing at least one item, thinking, where did that go? And you're hoping that over the next 10 years, when you unpack your boxes, you'll find it. Yes. Moving can create its own stress, can it? Okay, but think about this. Relocating spiritually is something altogether different. It's leaving our current body and this temporary world for a glorified body and a perfect eternal world. Nothing like this one. The Word of God's telling us that when this world is over and we pass away, we do not merely cease to exist. We exist, but we exist elsewhere. Which leads us to actually consider the next point in our notes. It's this, that going home means that we're just passing through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it reads this way. For we know, Paul's talking to them, building up actually from his previous letter, the 1 Corinthians. This is the second letter to the church at Corinth. This is actually chapter 5, so it even has some four chapters to build up to this statement. He says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. It's interesting that he uses those terms, isn't it? Check these words out in your scriptures right there or on the screen. Earthly tent, destroyed, a building, eternal house, clothed with a heavenly dwelling. Those are interesting terms that I think that Paul uses to describe the contrast about us being where we are now and where we're going to be. The concept of us just passing through. Can we talk a second, though, just for a moment about that temporary tent that we found in that scripture passage, the earthly tent that we're here? We talk a little bit about that for a second. See, we can have a tendency I believe, to think on the temporary tent a little too much. It's maybe for guys, it shows up in the ways that we spend our time and our energy, along with the conversations over our newly found loved objects. Objects that have captivated our attention, causing us to be consumed about how to get the next object on the list that goes along with our hobby or our interests. For sports lovers, it's our conversation can be so one-sided to just our life in sports and just what we know about sports that we forget everything's really temporary. We can get kind of locked into the temporary life. It's a temporary tent. Now, there's nothing absolutely wrong with hobbies and objects. There's nothing wrong with pursuing some work and some outside of the routine to be involved in activities that create an avenue for you to release some stress and for you to enjoy this world that has been created. But it's the problem becomes when we get so locked into what this temporary world has to offer that we forget we're just passing through. We can't forget in this particular conversation as well that it's not only men that struggle with this. Sometimes women can struggle with a temporary tent. They can struggle with looks and activities. They can ask themselves the question. We made this message this week, and we sat with a room full of women and asked them, what does a temporary tent look like? What are the snags and the struggles that women go through? And this is what they came up with the looks, the activities. They said sometimes the question is, am I doing what other women are doing? Are my kids on the honor roll? That's a big thing that takes our focus. Now, there's a healthy pride in your child's accomplishments, but then there's also an unhealthy focus on that temporary tent in those areas. Women might struggle with comparison and competition, the implication that goes along with that in the social circles in which we run. Do I have what someone else has? Even to the point of where does my house have the wow factor for those who visit. All of those thoughts are not wrong in themselves. All of those thoughts are not wrong in themselves. All of those thoughts are not wrong in themselves. What happens is when they become the all-consuming focus right now, it moves us from the idea that I'm just passing through and I'm here on a temporary time. See, there's a distinction between where we are now and where we're going to be. It's obvious in the passages of Scripture that we're here on a temporary, if you want to call it assignment, but really on a temporary time. Even James, almost the earliest writings of the New Testament, he would even agree with this when he says this. He says, now, in James 4, 13 and 14, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's really temporary. And when we come to this belief in view of eternity, becomes on this right here. Our belief about how we view eternity is founded inside the Scriptures about its discussion of this temporary world. We see how so temporary this is, and we compare it to the eternity, and we realize that's how our belief has arrived to that focus. It's a concept that really, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? Our life here is short compared to eternity. But let's get back to the contrast, shall we? Our body's the temporary home that we're operating in until we relocate to our permanent home in eternity. And I think this could bring to our mind the importance of this temporal living arrangement. This is important. If we're just passing through, this might be our question. Corinth actually struggled with this one. Does this world matter? Does my body really matter? Does anything in this world really matter? Especially my body. Because if I'm going to get a new one when the expiration date hits on this one, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if I'm just passing through and this is all temporary? There's really nothing here that lasts, right? According to some thought process. A great scholar, William Barclay, I think he sums it up very nicely in one of his writings in Matthew when he says this. Jesus never said this world was unimportant. Jesus never said this world was unimportant. But he said and he implied over and over again that its importance is not in itself, but in that to which it leads. This world is not the end of life. It is a stage on the way. And therefore, a man should never lose his heart to this world and to the things of this world. His eyes ought to be forever fixed on the goal beyond. William Barclay goes on to conclude when he says, what is your perspective of life? Do you believe that on this earth life is transitory and being with God in that better and heavenly country is where you want to live? And if so, it'll show up in the way you live your life today. So I want you to get that picture, is that we shouldn't be adopting the idea that this world doesn't matter. Because everything we do here in this physical life definitely impacts the eternal life and the home we're waiting for. Please get that. This temporary life, as temporary as it is, everything we do in this world impacts our life in the next world, eternity, everything. Because while we're waiting for the eternal home and we're living in this physical world, it does matter what happens and it does matter what we do. We can be encouraged, and it's actually possible to have a dual thought in our lives. The life I am now living now is important because it's the stage of the eternal life that I'm preparing for. And if that life didn't matter, if it truly didn't matter, the way the arguments of some would put forth, I don't think we would see so much instruction from God's word on how to live in this one. But we see a lot of it. It's loaded with instructions on how to live here. So the things that we can do or can be done for eternity, moms, every single day, in some cases all day long, you're raising those little angelic beings, mainly when they're asleep, I understand, is when they're the most angelic. But when you're raising them and you're chasing them around the house and you're fixing meals and you're giving loving correction, I know, something to imagine. When you're giving that correction, you can do that because that is impacting eternity. And dads, when you're at work, it's all day long. Moms, when you're at work and both of you have to come home and pull together for the supper and for the dinner and cleaning up the house and getting the kids off to bed and ready for school and doing homework, all of that, even though it's wrapped in the physical life of the temporal here and now, it has lasting impact for eternity. Every action does. That's why we're reminded by Paul when he tells a church he was writing to everything that you find to do, do to the glory of God. Every single thing that you do, do to the glory of God. Another passage of scripture that really speaks to our transitionary thought process, our passing through in our lives, is Philippians 3, 20 and 21. It says this, our citizenship is in heaven. It makes this big contrast, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. That word citizenship jumps right off the page and directs our attention to our true identity, doesn't it? When I opened the message this morning, I told you about those weeks that I was in India. We were staying at a college that was instructing students to learn the Word of God and be able to go out and teach the Word to their churches. And so it was built with a lot of walls around it because the area wasn't the most touristy, safest place that there was. So there was the walls and there was a gate that would shut and open every day. And one particular afternoon, we didn't have any teaching to do, and the gate was open just a little bit, and I snuck out. Chopped out. I was into the streets of Calcutta. I wanted to walk around the shops, and I was staying close to the home, but I just wanted to walk up and down the streets a little bit. And I walk into stores, and I found the largest shoe size was a size 9. I couldn't fit into anything in that city. And so I would walk through the stores and I would try to purchase something, and no one could talk to me. No one could speak. They just looked at me. And I actually never felt more like an American than I did right then, because I didn't belong there. Paul's saying our citizenship should be easy to see. He's telling the church that we're to live in a way that is opposite of the culture that was surrounding them in which they were living. You know the verses we read on the screen between 20 and 21, the verses before that, he was making this comparison. He says in verse 18 of that same chapter, he says, "For as often I have often told you before, and I now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." The people that are in that passage are just locked into living here in this world. Their destiny is going to be a destruction. Their mind is so locked into this temporary world, they don't think about anything for us. But not for us, he's saying. When we live like we're passing through, we're going to look a little bit different. Here's why. Your third point in your outline, it's because we're headed to a place in which we'll be perfect. Going home means we become perfect. In our vernacular, in our terminology, in our worldview, in our view of this eternity perspective, our going home means we become perfect. Check 1 John 3, 1 and 2 out. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." John says this phrase, and that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. "Dear friends," in verse 2, "now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known." And what we will be has not yet been known. "But we do know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Never seen what that's going to actually look like. It's given us a glimpse of our future. It's going to be very hard for us to gain this clear picture and image of what it is going to truly be and to be as clear as we would like it to be, but here it is. We're going to be like Jesus. How's that possible? Well, keep this in mind. We already, right now, although we're marred by the fall, we have the image of God stamped on us. And when we got our new nature at salvation, our new nature given to us at salvation was created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And since the day of that new salvation, the Spirit has been transforming us into the likeness with ever-increasing glory. The process then will be fully complete at his appearing. And I don't want you to get the impression you're going to be like God in eternity. Don't get that impression. We're not going to be like God. We're going to still be in a glorified state and a glorified body, but we'll still be learning. We'll still be, the vastness of his arena will be something that will capture our attention for eternity. But we're going to be like Jesus in which ways it relates to holiness and perfection. That's how we'll be like Jesus. Our glorified bodies will not have the damage that the ones here do have. No pain, no defects, no physical or mental disabilities. That's just in the physical appearance that we struggle with now. But we're also in our attitudes and our thoughts and our responses, they're going to be like Jesus. That's what we long for. For a true follower of Christ, we long for that. Even another passage of scripture that confirms this as we conclude is 1 Corinthians 15, 43 and 44. Paul tells the church in this first letter at Corinth, he says, "This body that is sown perishable, it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." Then he concludes, if there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Paul is using an imagery here that tells us about this new body we're going to get. The imagery is this. Yes, not yet, in Christ. Yes, not yet in Christ. Would you say that with me? Yes, not yet in Christ. That's the body we have. That's the body we're going to be getting. When we get close to this season, we just announced it today about Halloween. Many little kids, get dressed up into something that they're not. Some of them might even already have costumes in their closets or in their drawers or laying out. They can see it. They can touch it. They might even try it on to see what it's going to look like. But really, not until Halloween Day do they get to really, really put the entire costume on and go door to door, be transformed into this temporary character for the evening, going to house after house and keeping and getting the very thing that keeps the dentist's office open. That's when they're really like their, that's when the process really comes full for them. They transform from their angelic little self to whatever they're dressed up as and go, and that's that day. It's a little bit like that for the Christian. It's a terrible example in comparison. But it's like this. We are constantly moving toward our new body, our new dwelling, our new place. We're constantly moving towards perfection. When our bodies will completely transform because of what happens in the eternity and in another world. And this world does make an impact. It just culminates, comes together, finalizes. And every single thing we've ever gone through in this world starts to make that the next one, the eternal world, much more of a reality. So we conclude today, and we've done this series. You go back at the very beginning. Do you remember the imagination that we created in our minds to have a loving father that would delight in you as his child? The way that we all long for and are made for to have in this physical life, God is that loving father. To imagine forgiveness of every single action that keeps you from having fellowship with him. The imagination of being redeemed or having a redemption that is demonstrated because of a completely changed life, that we now have the power to live a different way. And then today, imagine going home to a place you haven't been yet, but it's home because it's where you belong. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask today that with these passages of scripture, with this concept of home, this concept of being where we're headed, and how we're on this journey today, walking with you. Yet, Father, because of our physical world and its limitations, we long. We long to be there with you. We long to be there with our family, with our friends. Father, right now it's in an imagination. It's something that we can grasp through your word. I hope, pray that you would allow these passages of scripture to ultimately change our life in such a way that we could begin to live knowing that we're here temporarily. We have such a much better place awaiting us. And Father, as we take this offering this morning, it's our desire that you would use it to reach this community here, so that we would have a message, that we would have a chance to give them your story, your words. In Jesus' name, amen.